Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a bonus episode of Home at Advantage. This episode is a little bit special. We're going to interview Olympian Dan Dennis, and he's got some big news for us right at the end. We're going to announce some, and I'm just going to introduce him, tell you a little bit about Dan. He's a two-time Illinois High School State runner-up, two-time All-American for the Iowa Hawkeyes, including a runner-up finish in 2010. He's a two-time national team member, 61 kilograms in 2015, 57 kilograms in 2016. 2016 Olympian at 57 kilograms. He's a University Nationals champion, head coach at RTC South, and the head coach for Capstone Wrestling. Hey, Jude, how's it going? You ready to get this interview going?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. And for our listeners who still don't know who Dan Dennis is, I'll just give you a list of some names that he's beaten. He's beaten Coleman Scott, Tony Ramos, Kendrick Maple, Sam Hayes-Winkle, and Franklin Gomez, who had a super close one with Jordan Burroughs just recently. But, Stan, are you there?
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, wow.
It's going great.
Yeah. Let's hop right into the interview. Sam, you got some questions for Dan?
Yeah, let's get right into it. So my first question for you, Dan, is what got you into wrestling, and what was your first impression of the sport?
I got into wrestling. What grade are you in? Probably about your age. What grade are you in, Sam?
I'm in sixth grade.
Okay, a little bit before. I got into wrestling in third, fourth grade. Just neighbors, actually. I was a baseball player, played football growing up, just dad was a youth wrestling coach, Mr. Reyes, and got me into a local kids club and just took it from there. And like any kid at that age, I think I just needed an outlet for a little bit too much energy. So instead of sitting around playing video games, I found the wrestling room.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Did you love the sport right off the bat? Did you enjoy every aspect of it?
Yeah, just being able to compete. You know, I was a kid that was out riding bikes and playing with the neighborhood kids and, you know, causing trouble and just scraping my knees and riding bicycles everywhere. And I think the wrestling room, I mean, I gravitated towards it because it, like I said, it was that outlet of, instead of going out 5 hours riding bikes all day, it was, we got practice coming up and, you know, I couldn't be kept out of the room enough. I absolutely loved it. And, it was actually pretty cool. The area I grew up to, had a lot of high level kids. Jimmy Kennedy was a grade below me. He was one of my big teammates or big practice partners all through high school.
Wow.
I mean, there was a handful of Division I kids that Joe Barzak, John Deneen, Matt Fiordarosa, they all wrestled Division I. It was pretty cool, the area I grew up in, and just kind of naturally fell into it, I guess.
That's awesome. Yeah. Did you have much success early on?
To a degree, not at the national level, but so there were three divisions, and I was in the middle division in our youth state, and it was pretty tough, and I won state twice. But never did well on the national scene. And I guess it depends what your definition of success is, I guess. But
yeah,
a little,
okay.
Yeah, you know.
So one more question about your youth wrestling is, who played the biggest role in the growth of your wrestling in your youth?
My youth? Probably the coaches, just keeping it fun and exciting. You know, I think if I had coaches that at the early age made it so serious and bad if you lost, I think it would take a lot of fun out of it. So I think having the right coaches for me was huge. And they kept it light and fun, you know. I always loved going to practice. So I think my coaches did a good job at keeping it fun.
That's really interesting. What did your high school career look like?
My first year in high school, I actually had a losing record. I was undersized. I couldn't beat our 103-pounder, but I could beat our 112-pounder. So I had to wrestle 112 weighing 95 pounds. So I didn't have a very good year my first year. Actually had a losing record. And then my sophomore year, I made it to state and took fourth. And then the next 2 years, I took second twice. So, again, a little bit of success, but not what I wanted, I guess.
Yeah. What was your first big high school tournament?
Oh, I remember going. It was called the Barrington Tournament. I remember going to that my sophomore year and seeing big names. Mike Poeta was a couple of towns over from me. He's a head coach at Illinois right now. And yeah. I remember being around those guys and going to that tournament. And that's where it was like seeing the big names. And I remember his name sticking out specifically. So I think the Barrington tournament was probably my first biggest tournament.
Well, when was the first time you realized that you had a chance to be the best in our country?
Probably looking back at it. I don't know if there was any one point that I thought that. I remember points of being told that by coaches and thinking that was the expectations or the belief that they had in me, so I should probably start thinking the same way. I don't know if I have a specific moment in time where that happens. don't know if that answers your question. Sorry.
Well, that's all right. So yeah, on our last show, we talked a little bit about like nerves and like anxiety for wrestling. So what match were you like the most nervous for in your entire career?
Oh, I get nervous before all matches. I don't know if there's any one. I mean, I think big matches, the Olympic finals or the trials finals was, you know, a really big one. I remember before going out on the mat, really having to talk to myself and calm myself down. The national finals was a really big one. But yeah, I would probably say the Olympic trials finals and dealing with them is, for me, I think it differs every individual, you know, but I think for me, it's just being alone and trying to focus on what I want to do out there and what I've done to get me ready for it. And just going through a couple of little key things in my head is the way I deal with them. And everyone's a little different, you know?
Yeah.
Did those nerves gradually change for you?
I don't think the nerves changed. I think me learning how to deal with them changes.
How did that change?
Making adjustments every time. And, you know, and you make adjustments that go the negative way too, go the wrong way, where you try things before matches that to calm your nerves or to get them more excited, and then you just learn from it if that was a good idea or a bad idea. And I think just over time and been doing it for so long and competing for so long, it's one of those things that I know that I'm gonna have nerves. I know that I always do get nerves, but I can now have confidence in knowing how to deal with them and that they don't, you know, take away from my performance.
Absolutely. At what point did you realize you wanted to wrestle at Iowa?
I was pretty late, actually, in deciding that. I didn't get recruited by Iowa until after state my senior year. I was pretty late getting recruited there. And growing up, they were what's the best team in college wrestling right now?
Penn State.
Right? Yeah, so when I was growing up, when I was your guys' age, it was all Iowa. It was dominating the dynasty. So when I got any interest from them and thinking that I would never even make it to that level, I was sold. Them reaching out and shooting me an email, I was excited on the opportunity to maybe go there. And then going on campus and visiting that place is really unique and it's pretty cool. So, I mean, I could tell you when I was in third grade watching Saved by the Bell and CP Slater was wrestling for Iowa that I wanted to go then, but it was really after my senior year when I got recruited by them. And then going on campus and seeing what they were about was like, man, I want to be a part of that. So yeah, I guess after state my senior year was when I really, really wanted to go there.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Did any other colleges recruit you?
Northern Illinois recruited me, and Central Michigan, two other Division I schools, and then a handful of Division II and Division III schools.
Were there any other schools that you were interested in that maybe weren't recruiting you, but you wanted to go maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Illinois was in my backyard, and I kind of guess I wanted some interest from them, but I don't know. I was kind of late in deciding that I wanted to wrestle Division I, so I kind of wasn't drawn to many schools. I was really probably going to go to a Division II school up in Wisconsin was where I was leaning towards going into my senior year. So it kind of all changed pretty quickly.
Well, I'm glad you didn't.
I'm glad it panned out the way it did.
What do you think made Iowa want to recruit you?
I think they had a pretty big hole in their lineup at the time. So the way it worked out, I mean, I got to just say it was fate. And now I'm thankful for the way it happened. I think that they were looking in nearby areas for someone around that weight. And it just so had it. I came under their radar. I know that the coaches there, they told me at my semifinals match at the state tournament and at senior nationals, there was a match that they said sparked interest in them where it was just a tight match, and little performances like that, I think, caught their attention.
Yeah. So how did you handle, because I know I hear so much about how crazy the Brands brothers are and how intense their workouts are. How did you handle those first couple months at Iowa?
Well, so my first couple months at Iowa, it was different coaches.
Okay.
It was Jim Zaleski and Hartung and Steiner and that group. And the next year was when the Brands brothers came in. And when they came in, there was a shift in intensity. There was a little bit, and they are some of the most intense individuals you'll ever be around. And then they're the most calm, caring individuals you'll ever be around after that too. So I think me having to figure that out and learning that, took a little bit, but, their workouts are hard, man. Their workouts are hard and they demand excellence, and, they want to push you to the limits and get the most out of the kids, even when the kids don't want to. They're awesome coaches, and It took me a little bit to learn that they had, that they were trying to push me and make me think a different way. So that's a long answer for your question. Sorry.
No, that's awesome. I'd love to hear that. If you had to describe the Brands Brothers in just one short sentence, what would you say?
I don't know if I could. Intensely balanced.
Intensely balanced.
Intensely balanced and thoughtful.
Okay,
that's a good one.
I like that. At what point did you truly believe that you could be one of the top wrestlers in the country in college?
You know, I think I credit a lot of that not to me thinking or believing that as much as the people I was around and the coaches I was around and all your teammates and family. I mean, there were workouts that I've had with people that were winning nationals, Matt McDonough, Brent Metcalf. You know, there was Joey Slayton. There were kids that I was around that it went without going that they were the best and they were competing at the best level and at the highest level. And I was around them and I was doing the same thing that they were doing and I was able to do it. And I think that for me, it was a little different than like, oh, I just woke up one day and I realized I could be the best in college. I think gradually being around the people that I named, Doug Schwab is one, Zadik is one, the Brands Brothers, like Dan Gable, I remember calling me one summer and telling me what my expectations should be. And I think over time, hearing that from all those people around you, it's like, man, they're right. I got to stop getting out and just go out there and wrestle as hard and as good as they think I can. And I think that was, I don't know that there was any one point in time, I guess. So again, sorry for a long-winded answer, but I credit those guys a lot. Metcalf had a huge role in me believing that I could compete at the level I did.
Wow, that's a good one.
That's awesome.
What were some big adjustments that you had to make in order to transition into freestyle?
Stop being so stupid.
that would do it.
That would do it, right? Freestyle, you got to be tight, right? You have to wrestle. Matches can be over in a blink of an eye. I mean, we all know that, especially at the high level. When you see high-level guys winning one position and just blowing 8 points out of the water, you know?
Right.
So I think me learning how to wrestle tight and knowing that just outlasting guys. It doesn't have to be score all your points and tech the guy. It can be a calculated, tough chess match to a point. And I think that was one thing I needed to learn, and it took me a while to do that.
So heading into 2016, what kind of conversations did you have with your coaching staff that went into the decision of dropping down to 57?
You know, it was really natural. And I came there with no intentions or plans of dropping down to 57. It was just kind of to throw my hat in the ring and see how 61 panned out. And I was competitive at it, and I felt like there was still some things left undone, and the coaches are going to try to push every athlete that they have in the room to their fullest ability. And they still saw that there was potential and that I'm capable of being the man at 57. So I think it was them just, hey, what are your plans? Like, I mean, look at the weight. Do you think you can do it? You're healthy. Your body's about the right size. Like something, it was very low pressure, but something that happened pretty naturally. And it was always support from the coaches, but never pressure.
Go, Sam.
I've always wondered, after watching the Flow film, I've been dying to hear about your trip to Krasnoyarsk, Russia for the Yarjun in 2016. Could you describe the struggles involved in that trip?
Yeah, I mean, that trip was pretty fun just because, going with the crew that we went with was a good time. It was a fun trip. But anytime traveling overseas, you can never prepare enough. You can always get caught off guard. Your bags get left. I think that time I left a bag on the plane that trip. I might have. It's always a scramble, and staying in new places and meeting new people and trying to interact and communicate in a language that you're completely not familiar with it's always exciting. The trip, the competition wasn't as successful as I wanted, but the experience and going over to that sauna house before and just going and seeing their culture, other cultures, to me it's really eye-opening and refreshing, and it kind of humbles me at least. So I love going over on any of those trips, but that one was cold as can be. That water was, it was freezing. It gets cold there.
Yeah.
Look like.
Yeah.
Do you think young guys should do oversee competitions, so like Cadet Worlds and Junior Worlds and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think it's per individual, you know. I think kids that have the ability and opportunity, I think it's great for. And I just came from a tournament last weekend up in New York, the Journeyman Invitational, and they had a ton of international. I mean, going overseas is awesome, but you can seek that out right here in the U.S. too. And that is really cool. And that experience of wrestling other international kids is priceless, and you can't put a price on that experience, you know. And getting that feel it's really unique. I do think it's important, but I also never wrestled freestyle until freshman year of high school, and I never wrestled a national tournament until Fargo. And I don't think it's an end all and that you have to, but I definitely think it's beneficial.
Yeah. So right now you're living in Chattanooga as the head coach of the RGC South and of Capstone. What do you believe are your next steps?
Well, right now we got one athlete in our RGC going competing at the Open. He just Scotty Boykin just took second at the Schultz a couple months ago. So going out there and going to continue to try to recruit some kids into the RTC and get them ready for national competition. So just trying to build on it.
That's pretty cool. What do you have for your like long-term goals with this coaching?
You know, just keep building. I'd love to get someone on the Olympic world team, but we got to start at the national team. So starting small and taking it one step at a time and just trying to build the support around it and keep adding members to it. So long term, we'll get there eventually. We just got to keep building the support, and that's what we want.
Absolutely. And I know everybody listening to this, look out for RTC South. They're coming.
Yeah, we're coming in strong. So it'll be good. Yeah. You got to get over to get in some workouts.
I'll have to.
Do you fall within our 250-mile radius?
I don't think so. I probably will, honestly.
We'll have to look into that. Can't be.
Man, when you live in such a big state.
Yeah.
It's big. Tennessee's very, very long.
Yeah.
What do you love best about Chattanooga? And what are some of the cool things you've done there?
It's beautiful. I've been exploring some hiking trails and some waterfalls. I love waterfalls, and the area is huge for water sports. And there's a ton of waterfalls in it because of that. The hiking, the outdoor activities in the area is beautiful. It's amazing. Want to get into some mountain biking in the area, so hopefully this summer we'll look at doing that.
I love Chattanooga. Every time I go there, I have to go find some trails, find waterfalls. Like you said, I love to jump off those.
Yeah, it's a neat little area. It's a cool downtown area. Yeah, it really is. So
the U.S. Opens this weekend, and I know I'm dying to go watch. Will you get a chance to go to Vegas? You were talking about going to recruit some guys.
I am going out there. We're going to keep an eye out for adding some members. I actually lost a bet last summer, and I might be making good with a promise from my high school coach on possibly competing in the Open. We'll see. It's going to be a last-minute game-time decision, but and it would be Greco, too. So it'd be a style that I'm unfamiliar with a little bit. And, it would definitely be exciting. So we'll see. So keep your eyes posted. Keep your eyes watching.
So how do you expect to do there?
Hopefully not get dropped on my head.
Well,
that's the only plan that I have. If I can escape a match of not doing that, then that's a win in my eyes. It would only be just to enter and try to get a couple of matches. And if I could get my hand raised, I would be thrilled. Those guys in Greco, it's a different world.
Yeah,
it really is. So I don't want to. They could beat me up pretty easily.
So say you go down there and you dominate the Open. What would you be trying to do? Would you just back out of it, or would you try to make the world team, make a national team? I don't know.
Hypothetically, if some miracle were to happen like that, because that would take an act of God, I would take it the next match. I would look who I would have the next match and just try to do my best. That's the only thing I'm trying to do out of it.
All right.
Well, hey, with actually summer coming up and Beat the Streets, I got a question for you, both of you guys. The Burroughs Askren match.
All right.
Are your predictions, and what are the odds? Give me some odds on.
So, Sam, do you want to go first, or should I?
You can go ahead. Okay. Think about it.
So I don't know. I've been reading a lot of, or I've listened to some of the interviews with Ben and Jordan, and I don't know. What really stuck out to me was Ben saying like, I might not be better than Jordan Burroughs, but I don't have to be better than him to pin him. So I think, you know, with that kind of attitude going into the match, I think it's going to give Ben an edge, actually. And I think he's just underestimating himself. you know? Obviously, yeah. Jordan Burroughs is ridiculously good, like, a different level yeah. of being, you know?
Yeah.
But Ben Askren is, he's wily, dude. He's a veteran. And I'm so excited.
I get really interested in that as well. I agree with you. I think that he isn't giving himself enough credit. I think he's got tricks up his sleeve. I mean, you watch some of his old stuff, and that doesn't go away either. Just because he yeah. hasn't been in wrestling, it doesn't mean he's lost those tricks.
Like, same for you, too, right?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Being out of it for a couple of years and coming back, you can still be a threat with good guys.
Or now, Jared Freyer, you know, he's 40 right? and he's wrestling in the open.
Is he wrestling in this?
Yep.
Yes, he is. 74.
Lost the bet to Mekhi Lewis.
Wow. So funny story about that. Do you guys remember Jared Freyer retired and then came back? He actually beat Metcalf 1 year in the finals.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's crazy. That should be interesting. All right, Sam, who you got? JB Askren.
I got Burroughs. I think he's just too sound. But I am giving Askren a chance. I'm not going to bet on a close match. I think it's either a blowout for Burroughs or Askren pins him, to be honest.
Ooh.
I think you're on the right track with those. Those are all good guesses.
I think Burroughs is double, and just his savviness is just too heavy for Askren to be able to wrestle. Now, this is at 79 kilos, so it's going to be interesting.
That favors Burroughs Askren, right?
Yeah, Burroughs hasn't wrestled anything other than 74 in, I don't know, 8 years? I have no idea.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Is it day before or same day weigh-in?
It's always been day before it beat the streets.
Oh, okay.
But it might be same day. Well, last year Tremizo was challenging that it should be a day of.
Oh,
but it's
yeah,
always
right.
been, and that was the one match they had to wrestle or weigh-in day of. Okay. I don't know what they're planning to do for this one.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
I just hope that, they just go guns blazing, you know.
That'll make it fun for the fans, right? Then I think that'll favor Askren, because flurries, if he gets some flurries, I think that Askren comes out on top of those, right?
Right.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah, it should be fun. Well, I'm excited.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Good deal. You guys going to be covering that?
We hope to.
All right.
We hope
we're
to.
We're gonna put out some more podcast predicting and talking about those matches. There are a lot of really good matches there, too.
Yeah, we just heard, right before the show, we just heard, Yanni and who's the Indian guy, Sam?
Bajrang.
Yeah,
Bajrang.
Bajrang
is first.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's it.
That'll be a good one.
That one's going to be awesome.
That'll be a really good one. Huh.
Bajrang doesn't hold anything back.
Yeah, it sounds like
He's so active, and he wrestles a super high pace.
Wow, he does. Well, good deal.
Hey, so, Dan, you've done a ton of interviews stuff. What's a question that you've always wished someone would ask you on an interview?
Oh, I have no idea.
Anything.
I have no clue. Oh, man. You got me at a loss for words now.
Oh, man.
What would be a good one? I can't think of it. I can't think of one. Who my inspiration is my dog. My best road trip and partner. I never got asked that. My best road trip and partner is.
Nice.
That's your dog? Your dog's
yeah,
awesome. I've seen all your films and everything.
You met Otis.
Awesome.
I he's Gilman's boy, too. He's come on a lot of wrestling trips. He's been to more wrestling tournaments than a lot of people that go to Nationals, probably.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. You guys are doing an awesome job, and both you guys are still in high school. Well, Sam, you're still in grade school. Jude, are you in high school yet?
Yeah, I'm a freshman.
Okay, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys keep doing what you're doing, and we need to do another one after the Open.
Oh, yeah.
We have to.
This is great.
Yeah, cool. Well, Sam, is there anything else you guys need?
No, I just want to thank you for allowing us to announce your big news about Wrestling Greco on our podcast. Yeah. And I really do hope we can get you back on here for some more talking about wrestling and just having fun like we did today. It was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was great. It was awesome to meet you, or you know, even if we're just talking to each other. But
well, it's great talking with you, Jude. I appreciate everything you guys are doing, and keep up the hard work.
It's really
well.
I think that about does it for this bonus episode, Home Ad Advantage. We're gonna have our regular episode out on Wednesday. This one should be Tuesday evening. I think we're shooting for. But you know, thanks, Sam. Thank you, you know, Coach Dennis. Safe travels.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll get back to you after the Open, all right?
All right.
All right.
Have a good one, guys. See ya.
Right. You too.
See ya.